Some of the biggest news in esports history dropped as we find out that Carlos, CEO of legendary esports team G2, is stepping down permanently after a serious controversy. And if you're like me reading this, you're probably wondering, like, what the hell happened? And that's what we're here to break down today, explaining the actual truth that most people have missed about this totally crazy set of events. I'm Devin Nash. I was formerly CEO of CounterLogic Gaming and the head of Team Dignitas North America. I now own an agency called Novo that helps brands and creators work together through creative ad campaigns. What we're going to do is we're going to break down this timeline, and by the end of this, you are going to be an absolute expert on this subject, okay? So let's get into it, starting with the September 17th tweet that began it all, with a where Carlos, also known as Ocelot, is the co-founder of G2 Esports, huge esports team in Europe, posts this basically 6 to 8 second video celebrating a world championship with super controversial figure Andrew Tate in the frame next to him. He does acknowledge Andrew in the video. It's about 6 to 8 seconds, and they're just partying. There's no like real controversy in the video itself, but Andrew was recently banned from all social media platforms, and that is a pretty big deal, as we're going to find out. So this video gets posted, and then shortly after, there's a huge amount of controversy, everybody responding to the Twitter thread, with including some pretty big esports figures saying that this is ridiculous that you would post this video, given the timeline. And Carlos makes this tweet where he says, "Nobody will ever be able to police my friendships. I draw my line here. Party with whoever I want." Well, as you can imagine, this didn't go over too well. So this is where stuff starts to heat up. So September 17th, this is the same day, mind you, right? Carlos posts a response, "I'll party with whoever," basically tells everybody to get bent, okay? And to understand what's about to happen here, because at September 18th, okay, there's this huge change, right? Where he has posted this, and then just in one day, he posts a response that says, "Many G2 fans were let down this weekend, which created confusion about what I stand for. Always been consistent target to stand for absolute equality of opportunity, regardless of who you are, and that's what gaming is about. I failed to read the room right, feel terrible about discussions I created, and stand up to accept the consequences in full." So September 18th, we get Carlos's apology, as well as a statement from G2 Esports, same day. All this is basically within 24 hours. Right, that says, "We've worked hard to build a safe and inclusive environment. We'll continue to do our best. Carlos is and our supervisory board have mutually agreed that he will take 8 weeks of leave as CEO and suspend his earnings." Okay, so the board announces, I should say the board and the company announces, that Carlos is taking 2 months off without pay as CEO. So this is already huge in 24 hours. But what I want to start, so what we're going to start with, and what's really going to key you into kind of the crazy stuff that's going on here, is this period of time, this 24 hours of what happened. And to understand that, you are in a deep dive video, so we're going to get into the details of what actually happened. So to understand that, you need to understand cap tables and understand how stuff at these esports teams works. So Carlos started G2 Esports with another person. I believe his name is Jens Hilgers. Yeah, that's right. So Carlos and Jen Hilgers owned 100% of G2 Esports at the beginning, okay? So when you start a company, you have something called equity. Equity is basically the percentage that you own in the company represented in shares of the company. So if you have 100 shares of a company, Carlos gets 50, Jen gets 50. You each own 50% of the company. You make 50% of the decisions. That, for example, is how Novo is set up, where it's myself and my co-founder, Matt, where we both have 50% of the company. So this is pretty typical, where either you might own 100% of a company, like in the case of like Reginald and TSM, or Jack and C9, and then you might choose to give out that equity later in exchange for either investment or in exchange for giving it to employees, which is called ESOs, employee stock options. And so equity that gets distributed over time is called dilution, and that means that basically let's say I give 30% of my company to somebody in exchange for $5 million. It would be myself, that person, and my co-founder as owners. And what you have to understand about this process is that everything, once a company gets invested in, okay, so once a company takes on investment, they trade a percentage of their equity as owners to that new investor, who then owns that part of the company with the expectation that the company will increase in value later, and then they can sell that for more, sell that those shares, right? Than they bought them for. So let's take a look at G2's investors. So G2 has raised $23 million. And the, G2 has raised $27.3 million. $10 million of it was from Joseph Tsai, who is a Alibaba co-founder. And the rest of it, if you look at some of these people down here, pay attention to this because it's going to be important later. You've got some of these VCs and capital firms, some of the people that have invested in esports before, like Dan Gilbert, but and then some other names. But these people, like Seal Rock Partners, Everblue Management, these are VC companies, venture capital. Okay, so this is the six investors out of 13 total that led the round for G2 at some point when they took on investment. Now, what happens is once investors come on, investors establish a board, okay? And the board is a combination of investors, and they have what's called voting rights, which are essentially just like their ability to make decisions for what happens in the company. So previously, the only two people that made decisions in the company are Carlos and Jen. But as the money comes in esports, and in all companies, but this is something that has particularly affected esports, what ends up happening is that control passes over to those new investors, and the investors call the shots. So even if you have a person at the front of a company who's like the forward-facing CEO to the community, that most of those people over time have lost their ability to make significant decisions in the company. This happened to a great extent at CLG. It was one of the reasons why I departed from the company. This happened to a great extent at some of the other esports teams that I probably shouldn't speak for. But suffice to say that every owner has lost varying degrees of control over the company. And all of that is established in the contracts that they sign when called M&A agreements, mergered acquisition agreements, when investors come in and they start to put in this money. And look, the investors say, hey, we should have some control over the company because we are investing. We're the ones with the money and you want our money. So you've got to acquiesce to this, right? And there's kind of some varying degrees of back and forth you can do on this, but pretty much like what ends up happening is like in the case of G2, obviously, Carlos had lost the ability to really run his company. If you look back at some of the things that have happened where there's been some more aggressive takeovers, like with Optic, you can see that like Hector almost completely lost his ability to run the company at that point. Some of the other esports teams have been able to keep more of their ownership. So for example, Jack from C9, I don't know this for sure, but seems to have a great deal of control of his company. And that is one of the things that happens here is that like a lot of the esports owners, they're young, and these investors, these VC venture capital firms that come in with a ton of money have an incredible amount of experience. And when they do their M&A contracts, they really push these younger people to give up rights with like really weird terminology like single or double trigger acceleration, all the stuff that you wouldn't know. And you end up giving up a lot more voting rights and a lot more power as an owner than you would have expected, which then comes up later when something like this happens, okay? So I'm guessing that's what, I'm making a very educated guess that is probably what happened when it comes to G2 Esports, is that at the time when Carlos and Jen were 100% owners, when they took on the $27.3 million raise, they did several raises in what's called a Series A. Did they do a Series B? No, so this is all through Series A. Just looking through this again. Yeah, this is all Series A investment, meaning that they effectively just did this all in one go. There was a corporate round as well. So this is the $10 million, and this is the seed, meaning that there's an initial investment here with a VC firm, a Series A. So there's three separate investment events. And each one of these is like a dilution of equity, a dilution of ownership. To the point where, like, if you look at, like, 100 Thieves and just, like, all the owners that are on 100 Thieves, for example, like, my guess would be that, like, Nadeshot has, like, very little decision-making when it comes to, like, the actual company, even though he's, like, very forward-facing. So, okay, so if you understand that, you kind of understand a lot of how these esports teams work, and that's why all that context is necessary. So, going back to the timeline of what happened, basically between the September 17th and September 18th, where Carlos, like, this turn might seem really sudden, because this is like a pretty crazy statement, right? Like this is just like pretty straightforward. Well, what happened in this like 6-hour period was Carlos didn't talk to anybody on the board. So what ended up happening was he goes, yeah, I'm just going to double down on this, right? And rather than, like, contact, like, PR or, like, the board, he wasn't expecting, like, this kind of response. And like, to his credit, it's kind of crazy that he did get this response because, like, he wasn't actually involved in any of the, like, controversy that Andrew was. He literally just, like, stood next to the guy. But this response is going, it leads to a real problem, both with the community and what ends up happening, okay? So let's go to September 18th, where we already read the apology. He goes through this apology, and G2 basically says, yo, we're really sorry. This 8 weeks of leave CEO thing, we're going to talk about what happens between September 18th and September 21st, where Riot Games announces new Valorant partners. So we'll get to that in a second, but first, to understand this, you've got to understand exactly what happened with the September 18th thing and, like, why G2 made that decision, right? So September 18th, leave of absence, me, and 8 weeks, no pay. Why does this happen? This is a very typical thing to do as a PR firm, or like any kind of PR or any kind of, like, thing with an executive. The first thing you try with a community is a third-party investigation, a leave of absence, and then you stop talking about it. Don't say a single thing. So what you'll see a lot in, like, PR, we just saw this with OTK, for example, with Mizkif stepping down. This is a perfect example of this. Was basically, like, it's hot, right? Like, there's just, like, a lot of bad stuff going on. Everybody's talking about it. But people, but these PR firms are good. They know that most of you will stop caring about this within a couple of days, couple of weeks max. So what they do is they put that executive on leave. You also saw this happen. Actually, it's funny enough, this happened with Riot Games, with the allegations of sexual misconduct. Several of the executives were put on leave. They're put on leave for a varying amounts of time, kind of just how much the PR firm thinks this is going to hold on to. And then those executives just pop back in. Maybe a third-party investigation finds out that nothing went wrong. The third-party investigation is always really weird because, like, there's this conflict of interest usually, because the third-party investigation is usually reporting to the company that has the problem. So, for example, like with TSM, I believe, when they had the controversy around Reginald, they did, like, a third-party investigation, but the third party reports to TSM. So TSM could choose what to do with it. That's why the only reason why anything, like, really came out of the TSM thing was because Riot Games did their own independent investigation as impartial partners. So when you think about it, it's like, okay, a lot of the time these third-party investigations are nonsense. Don't hold this to me when you ever see my organization do a third-party investigation. You're not going to see that come from me, okay? I don't have any skeletons in my closet. I made sure of that. But like what I'm saying is, like, these third-party investigations, they oftentimes are kind of BS. And they're doing that just because they're trying to extend the time that they know in 8 weeks, nobody was going to care about this, okay? So this would have worked. This would have been fine. 8 weeks would have gone by. Nobody would have remembered this except, like, the most hardcore people. And it's, like, just a few comments on Twitter, right? It's not going to affect the long-term vision of the company. So there's no, like, real problem here. Like, they just take the leave of absence and then he comes back. Okay, so what happened then? Like, why is it that Carlos, like, actually permanently stepped down? Well, on September 21st, Riot announces its new Valorant partners. And there's a great thread here that I'll show you, where G2 was actually confirmed absent from the Valorant esports teams. And we can see the full announcement here. G2 is not anywhere. Okay, so this is what really kind of changes this whole narrative. And you can see here, G2 is now confirmed absent. Riot has affirmed that their number one priority is to find organizations who share our values of always putting fans first, celebrate our diverse community, and committed to supporting pros. Also, who build for a long-term but focus on sustainability. So what effectively happened here is a pretty crazy decision by Riot, where, I don't have this confirmed 100%, so I don't work at Riot. I can't know that they made this decision based on this, but I have worked with Riot for years, including all of their top-level executive staff. I franchise a league through them, I franchise a team in a league through them. I can tell you that I'm reasonably confident that Riot probably made the decision to drop G2 as a result of the controversy. Now, this is kind of a crazy thing because if they it's just the timing is so nuts, because if this Valorant announcement was coming out maybe 2 weeks later, Riot may not have dropped G2, but because Carlos doubles down with this post on September 17th, like, I'm going to party with whoever I want, he issues an apology. He's now off of, but Riot is, like, making these decisions. Within this three-day period, the G2 basically loses his Valorant spot as a result of this controversy. Now, when you think about it, from a business perspective, if Riot had the ability to leave this alone for, like, a couple of weeks, it would have been fine. And most likely G2 wouldn't have lost the spot, because this is in the same three-day period. Riot basically says, okay, it is way too hot to announce G2 right now as a Valorant partner and to simultaneously uphold our corporate values, that we don't stand for things like these controversies, right? Because the real discussion around Andrew is, if there's anything that he's, like, really being held accountable for, it's his misogyny. And that's kind of crazy, because some people, like Monte Cristo, have tweeted, Carlos lost his Valorant partnership slot and later his job because he partied with a man who said misogynist things, but zero executives at Riot have lost their jobs for creating a systematic misogynist culture for an entire decade. This is in response to a bunch of the articles that have come out over time about some of the controversy in Riot's workplace, where misogyny is rampant. So some people have noted that hypocrisy. Other people are kind of coming out, here's from Captain Flowers, if people condemn you for acting like a fool and you double down before making a fake apology, you're proving yourself to be unfit as a leader. Carlos put his ego above everything else and cost G2 a lot. It's a business, plain and simple, and that bullshit is bad for business. So you kind of see the two different takes here. And the reality is that the board, so remember, we did all that work to explain how equity works, because now you can kind of understand how these decisions are being made. So September 21st, the Riot makes this decision, okay? And now from September 21st to September 23rd, there is a conversation within G2 about Riot's decision to drop G2 from Valorant. September 24th comes along, the board fires the CEO outright. So that's where Carlos posts an apology. If we go up here, he posts this 3-minute video basically saying, I can't believe it, but I'm out of G2 and I'm permanently stepping down as CEO. So now that you understand the timeline of events, you can see exactly how this played out, right? Because the board basically said, okay, you as CEO, your responsibility is to lead the companies, and it's two things. Esports is especially difficult because you have two roles as an esports CEO. One is you have to lead the company in as all CEOs do. You have to lead the company in its executive vision. Chief executive officer, you got to make executive decisions and have an executive vision. The vision is almost more important, that drives the company forward. So for a long time, Carlos has succeeded at that. I think most people would agree with that, that the G2 is a very successful team. And by the way, we can't know exactly what the board relationship with Carlos was, and that does matter, right? So, like, Carlos had been there for a long time. Investors had been there for a long time. There's some speculation that maybe the board was looking to out Carlos in some way. I could definitely see that as realistic, because those relationships definitely change over time. And the relationship you have with your investors when you sell a company is very different even shortly after they buy the company, and then you interact with them over a period of time, believe me. So there's a lot of stuff we'll never know about, like, what that actual relationship was. Regardless, the board determined that Carlos cost the company a untold amount of money. So that executive vision, part of that vision was obviously G2 joining Valorant. They had literally talked to a team, Xset, which was basically prepared to join as G2's Valorant spot. Like, they were so confident they were going to get the spot that they had already set up a team to join when they got announced. So the organization had put significant investment, and maybe even contractual investment, into being a part of the Valorant ecosystem. And all of this just gets obliterated overnight. And you can see that in this tweet here that I copied. Cost his organization a spot in the fastest growing esport by doubling down on a tweet that was meant to get shock value, then did nothing to mitigate the impact of that tweet. That is not council culture. That's investors being upset over a multi-million dollar unforced error. So I think it's both. I think cancel culture is like a significant factor here, but I also think, obviously, because that's what happened, he got canceled. But I also think that this is a legitimate statement as well, that investors were upset because the vision here, as a CEO, your executive vision is to join with G2 with Valorant. There's a plan that you're going to pick up this team, and then your secondary role as CEO, particularly when it comes to esports. But a lot of organizations increasingly, I think, are taking on this role for CEOs. You have to be the public-facing image of your company. And what you say and what you do and your actions reflect your company directly, right? So the actions, I'm the public face of Novo. That's just like the decision that my co-founder and I have made. So when I say things and when I make actions, it directly affects my company. You better believe that if I do something super controversial, I will be in a similar situation, right? Because I'm a forward-facing CEO. It's just what I've chosen to be. It's a hard role to be in, because when something comes up like this, if you are going to be held accountable for both the vision, the executive vision, and you're going to be held accountable for the actual public-facing things that you did, and for that reason, both of those issues were violated, and the board decides that he permanently steps down within 3 days. So the board effectively determined that the decisions that were made here by Carlos were too egregious to really continue with him ever being CEO again. And we also can't know the amount of like revenue that was lost as a result of this So now that you understand that, you understand the entire timeline, you understand what happened, and I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And I've been in the industry, having met Carlos several times, and I'll tell you what I think about it. But first, you are 22 minutes into a Devin Nash video, which means this is time for the secret call out. Thank you very much, everybody. Leave a comment if you're still here and you are you've been interested in this video. It's been valuable to you. Just say 22 minute gang or whatever you want, or add something. I read all the comments and I appreciate you. Thank you all for being here. Hey, if you really like this stuff, subscribe to the channel. You can also check out my Patreon at patreon.com/DevinNash. $5 gets you like 80 videos where I teach about business and marketing and all kinds of stuff that we're interested in. You can also join the Discord, discord.gg/Devin, and very easy link. And there's a lot of discussion going on 24/7 about stuff like this. So if you want to check that out, discord.gg/Devin. Thank you for being here. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I think about this. Just going to go off like script and kind of just figure this out. There's a guy that I respect a lot. His name is Jason Lake. He owns Complexity, and we go way back. And he said, regardless of where you fall in the Carlos situation, it seems obvious that G2's prestige, brand valuation, and possibly its future have all taken a hit with his departure. Carlos was G2 to many fans at esports. I really like this take. And for me, I'm somewhere in between like what Monte Cristo said, which was like, it's like crazy this happened. And like what Captain Flower said, which is like, yeah, he like cost the investors a lot. Like the decision to remove Carlos from the company makes sense, right? Like if you look at the timeline in the way that we've explained it, and you understand how like boards and VCs, you gotta understand that like higher level investors have way less tolerance of these kind of things than, you know, like the 100% owner of like a private company. And it's kind of a funny thing. I'm going to get into like a lot of like personal stuff here and like just like some of my like takes on this, and hopefully it'll be like pretty valuable. But like one of the reasons why I didn't take on investment to start Novo, and I'm just basically, I mean, I'm effectively 100% owner with my co-founder. Like he and I make decisions about the company. That's it. Now, in a funny way, that kind of means that I can't really be canceled unless I cancel myself. If I do something crazy, like criminal offense, then like sure. But if everybody hates me for some video I put out or some take I have, I could just keep being, I can keep leading this company. Like maybe, like I could just do it, right? Like the reality is that if there's an interesting thing with cancel culture that, and you see this with influencers, that, and again, we're assuming no criminal, no actual criminal involvement where you can like really be canceled, like go to jail or something like that. if like all of Twitter hates you, you can still just kind of keep doing what you're doing. There are plenty of influencers that applies to for years have just kept posting videos. I don't even want to call them out just because I might summon them here. Okay. Like, but you can think of a few who are super controversial figures that nobody can really stop because they just don't cancel themselves. When people come at a person and then they capitulate to that and they say, okay, well, I'm really sorry, like whatever, I'm going to get off Twitter, whatever. Like a lot of influencers are making that decision themselves. And if they're the owners of their own business or they're the owners of their own content, there's really nobody besides the platforms to police them. Now, sometimes the platforms will police you, like we're seeing with Andrew. Like there's a couple of people that have really been deplatformed from every platform, but it doesn't happen that often. You have to do some pretty egregious stuff, some pretty crazy stuff to get to that level of notice from those platforms. So in Carlos's case, the problem really was if he was 100% owner of G2 or even 50% owner and his partner agreed with him, he could have just been like, yeah, screw you. Like he would have leave that tweet up and he might have lost he would have still lost the Valorant spot. Because Riot would have made that decision. He could have kept being CEO. And, you know, I think there would have been some blowback. But it in the long term, it would have kind of cost the company the same as it did when Riot made this decision. But the issue here is the investors, the VCs and the investors in this company got together and said, okay, like you're the CEO of this company, but we call the shots. And the shot we're calling is you damaged the company, its executive vision, and you didn't publicly represent it. You're out. So Carlos had absolutely no agency in this decision. And that is the real thing you give up when you sell a company if you set up your contracts to be this way. You can sell a company in a way where you retain a lot of this control, but Carlos obviously didn't. And that came back to haunt him when this happened. Now, that's not saying that I don't hold Carlos accountable, but I'm going to be super real here. I got to be careful with this. I am not a supporter of Andrew, the controversial figure in this video, at all. I've actually done quite a bit of research because I'm really interested in people that know the content that I create and like the kind of person I am. I am fascinated with what drives attention. Andrew drove attention faster, meteorically, maybe than anybody else in social media history, growing an enormous following. But I think in doing so, spread a message that was very harmful to the current culture, particularly from the lens of misogyny and men. I do think there's a crisis of masculinity in our culture, but I think that the way that he approached it was to encourage a mentality of making an enemy out of women, and I don't think that's good. So I'm not a big supporter of Andrew at all. I think I've seen the work he's done. I've actually looked into it. I haven't just looked at the clips. I've looked at the long form, and I just don't think it was the right way to go about it. So there's that. I just want to establish that. And I'm also a supporter of Carlos. I think that he's done a lot for esports. And I think that Jason Lake is absolutely right when he says that, like, the long-term, that Carlos was G2 to many fans in esports. That's certainly how I looked at it. And I'm sure if you're listening to this and you're a G2 fan, it's how you looked at it. And it seems weird to me that no matter how controversial the figure is, that by standing next to that person, And then making a statement, because it was really the statement, I will party with whoever I want, right? You are totally done. Like to some extent, Carlos is the victim of circumstance. That, like, I think, obviously, the board making the decision for the 8-week leave would have been back as CEO and would have run for years. But this particular timing, And look, like, so here's an interesting thing about this, right, that I didn't think about when I was making this, like, making the notes for this video. Carlos actually would have known that so Riot, like, kind of effectively greenlights you, like, you're going to know before you're formally accepted, and you also kind of have to know because you have to make decisions about, like, how to pick up a team, and it requires a significant investment by the esports team to do that. So, like, G2 kind of knew they were in at some point. And Carlos would have known on September 18th that he was in. And I would absolutely, at that point in time, do everything possible to not piss off Riot before that announcement came out. So Carlos being blind to that reality was the biggest mistake of his career, for sure. He should have not. I don't truly understand like what the mindset is of posting a video with Andrew in it on September 17th when you already know. Maybe he just thinks he's good, you know, like maybe he's just like I'm in. Like Riot's like told me this, but like you got to know. Because the controversy about Andrew has been, like, huge for, like, the last, like, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks or whatever. So that decision-making is something I'll never understand. Maybe, it, like, you know, in a podcast or something, like, Carlos will come out with it later. And, like, we'll get better insight into that. And we're just, like, we're just too close to the explosion. It's pretty crazy, right? Like, so this, like, timeline of events, it makes perfect sense to me why this happened. But, like, at the same time, the level of like cancel culture that like that made this happen is like crazy. And the real little finger here, the real like puppeteer was Riot Games, right? Because Riot had a emergency meeting and discussed, are we going to drop G2, and determined like, yeah, we're going to drop G2 because of this controversy. And again, maybe that's not it. Maybe Riot had some other thinking about this, but it G2 was so well positioned to take on Valorant. They had XSet was expecting, like their team tweeted, like people, their team members tweeted, like we lost our jobs because of this change. So they knew, like G2 had already talked to them. G2 had already talked about like a Valorant spot. Like this was gonna happen. This represents a significant loss of revenue because the model for Valorant is a little bit different from the previous franchise models, where you had to pay a ton of money to get into League of Legends. With Valorant, it's free. There's actually no franchise fee, and Riot promises a $600,000 stipend for anybody that's in the Valorant leagues. Now, that's barely the price of one player with the insanely overvalued salaries that are in Valorant right now. But that's a whole other video we have to talk about. But Riot, like regardless, like the opportunity to be in Valorant was like kind of a big deal. So I am like, how do I say this in like a way that's like as like politically neutral as possible? I worry when something like this happens. If you can be canceled completely and lose your job for standing like next to a person, granted that the response was not good and like the double down wasn't good and everything, but you know, this series of events can happen. It just concerns me because like Carlos himself didn't do something criminally or even ethically. Like, do you have an ethical and moral obligation to not hang out with bad people? One. And does there's a really good quote that I say a lot. It's like, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time around. So if you spend time around somebody that's like really controversial or like even like evil in a lot of people's minds, things like that, are you yourself evil? Riot Games think so, right? But you have to make that decision for yourself. When I looked at the responses and the sort of the sentiment that came from Carlos's departure, like people were pissed. They're like, I can't believe this happened. They just like, and that was my response initially. I was like, really? like this is the end of Carlos's CEO after this many years because he was standing next to a controversial figure. And now that you understand the timeline and you've watched this video, you have more context, but still, isn't that nuts? Like, who's next? And I guess, like, if I've learned anything from this as a business owner, it's that I am going to be super aggressive with whoever buys this company, that I retain voting rights and a ton of non-disparagement, because, man, you can get dropped for anything these days. Like, I worry that, like, I make a YouTube video where I say something like this. Like, I say, like, yeah, like, I think this is kind of crazy. And you're like, what? And then everybody loses it. Like, I just don't know. Like, it's so scary in this ecosystem to be a thought leader or an actual leader in this industry. And this is crazy coming from a person who is like, I have no controversy. You cannot dig up a skeleton on me because I've been very careful to make sure that I don't. I don't drink. I don't mess around at conventions. I don't. I've had long-term relationships for my entire life. Like, I'm very straightforward on this. And I've worked really hard to have that image of a highly authentic and highly ethical person. And I have left millions of dollars. And I'm not joking. I've left millions of dollars on the table so that I can make sure I have that image. And I worry every day about stuff like this because you just don't know what landmine you're going to hit. And so things like this make me feel real bad that this ended up happening, because here's the real problem with cancellation. The real problem with cancellation is that there is not really an opportunity or path of redemption associated with it. Like, Carlos is done. He will never work in esports again in any meaningful way. And the community has sort of just like accepted that and moved on. And that assumes that a person is incapable of redemption. And I believe that almost all human beings make big mistakes and learn from them. But many humans that make those mistakes do so in a relative vacuum. Maybe it's their family members. Maybe it's their immediate friend group that hears about it. And then they have to be held accountable to those people. And over time, a lot of times they will forgive them, depending on the severity of the offense. You can do things in life that are so egregious that you should be canceled forever. I absolutely think that. I don't think that this Carlos thing was one of those things. I think you could, like, I think once he got the talking to from the board, he probably really identified that he messed up. Because to be in an executive position, especially in esports, which is a very neurotic, like, win-lose type of ecosystem, you have to be cognizant of the mistakes you make. I still, to this day, have major imposter syndrome from running CLG just because it required me to analyze my mistakes on such a fundamental level that when I made a mistake, it was so apparent across the whole organization that I really felt that in my heart and had to transform. And it made me into a better person. But luckily, I was able to make a lot of mistakes, like certain people that that left the team, or just bad executive decisions like CLG's content direction that I made a mistake on. And I didn't really understand content creation at the time. That people were forgiving of. But like when you just see, like, as I can just vibe that, like, as a leader, not having the option to ever repair that mistake realistically and always being held to this standard that you're placed in at that time is like a real problem with cancel culture that we need to address. And I worry about that a lot. So I guess overall, that's like kind of my like long rant on like what I think happened here and my feelings on it. I'm altogether just kind of disappointed in that this happened. Like, I really agree with Jason that G2 has taken a serious hit here. I do understand the investors that made this decision. I do understand that based on the timeline, I understand why it happened. I think Riot Games is like crazy. I think that for them to make a flash decision to drop G2 like this, I understand it. Like, it would have been a lot of heat, but man, that's nuts that they made a decision to do this, like, just based on that controversy. And that forced the board's hand. So I don't blame the board, the investors of G2 at all. I don't blame the whole process of firing Carlos. And I think Carlos is held accountable for his actions. But permanently, yeah, it just feels like a huge hit to the culture of esports. It feels like another OG out. And like, here's another like last kind of thing to think about. If you fire the CEO of a significant company, right? But defining as significant as like one of these big esports teams, who replaces them? There are not many people with that skill set. This is actually one of the problems that I was talking to somebody at Twitch, and I had brought up that I just fundamentally believe the CEO of Twitch is like the worst CEO. Well, like I the current CEO of Twitch, just like completely incapable of running the company. And I one of the people at Twitch brought up, like, well, who replaces him, right? Because how many people actually have the skill set in the world that are capable of running that company? And that's an interesting question. Like, so, like, who replaces Carlos in G2? Who has that intimate cultural knowledge of esports that can actually, like, that can shoehorn into that position and then be like, okay, this is how to run a team. This is, like, what you need to know about the fundamentals of esports. And then has the executive and leadership quality to want to run that thing. The truth is that CEOs are hard to find because most people that are CEOs are kind of either doing their own thing or they're not motivated by money anymore because they've already succeeded at some level. It's hard. It's really hard. So who replaces Carlos? I worry that it might be some, like, you know, faceless executive that you know, speaks the language that the venture capital firms want, but doesn't really fundamentally understand esports and takes G2 in a direction that isn't as authentic to their community as Carlos would have taken it. And that was the same concern I had, like, when what happened with, like, Optic. It's the same concern I've had as esports has evolved into these professional sports teams, professional venture capital firms that are literally own these companies and have installed a lot of people in many of these teams that are just sort of out of touch. And this is sort of a problem with all mergers and acquisitions, but I do think it's going to become a problem with G2. And I think you see that in Jason's tweet that the future is going to be very different without Carlos in charge for this reason alone, that Carlos understood the culture of G2 and how to take the company in that direction. And as we lose more and more owners for various reasons that were kind of the original part of esports, you start to see the content, the messaging, and even like the publishers and tournaments and games themselves lose more and more of the meaning that like esports was originally about. And that's a real unfortunate thing. That's a real unfortunate thing. So overall, this is a crazy set of events. This is like, it's nuts that this happened, just in the way that it happened. But hopefully you have a total understanding of this as a result of this video. And I hope that this was like cool for you to listen to. Thank you very much for taking the time to do so. Leave a comment or let me know what you thought. And I'd love to hear from you. And just kind of like what you thought about, like, do you think that this cancellation makes sense? Do you think that this should happen? Do you agree with the timeline? Like what do you think? And thanks everybody. See you on Discord or wherever you choose to find me. Thank you everybody. Bye.